Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, as we've talked about the gospel, one of the temptations is to think that if we understand the message of the gospel, of Jesus' death and resurrection, that we've got it all figured out. And yet, if you look at the great saints throughout history, if you look at people like Mother Teresa or John Wesley, we find that all of them go through a season of dryness, a time of doubting, a time of what does it really mean for us? And I wonder this morning, as we think about our own journey of faith, as we think about our own faith, does it have the passion that you had expected it would be? Does it something that dominates the theme of your life, that so drives who you are and who you can become? Do you find the gospel at work in your life every day? When you get up in the morning, it's part of the first thing that comes to your mind in the morning. It's the last thing that leaves your thoughts as you go to sleep at night. It's something that is so powerful, it changes how you even view the world that is around you. Sometimes I think if we really were honest with ourselves, we would say, sometimes I don't feel that passion. Sometimes I just feel like I'm going through the motions. You know, maybe I get up and I go to church and I just kind of go through all of the things that we do here, but it just doesn't have the same energy or the same passion. Because the gospel is something that catches fire within us. I love this quote. It says that if seeking God is like a fish seeking water. The Spirit of God is all around. We don't have to look far. We just have to be open to it. And when we find it, it's something that is so powerful that it changes our lives. And yet most of us kind of go through life. People, even Christians in our country that have so much prosperity, we kind of go through almost in a malaise, almost in a melancholy about our faith, as if we're longing for some passion that will so define who we are, something that will get you up in the morning and get you fired up. This morning, we're going to take a look at one of the great leaders of our church, John Wesley, who went through a season of incredible dryness, who struggled with who he was and what his future was. And maybe in the process, we can learn something about who we are and the steps that we can take to have that kind of passion in our lives so that we know that our lives had great meaning, that God was at work in our lives because of the story that lies before us. Jesus took his disciples, that before they faced the tragedy of the cross and crucifixion, he took them off to a side and he talked to them about the challenges that they were going to face, the dry spell that they were going to go through. And he made them a promise that holds true for us just as it did for them. And I don't know where you are this morning, what's going on in your life, whether there's some tragedy that you're struggling with, whether there's some doubts and anxieties, some fears. But I think God wants us to know that he's with us, that there's a purpose to these struggles, to either make us stronger or to cleanse us from something. And so as we look at what Jesus is saying to his disciples, I want it to be a part of what Jesus is saying to you right where you are. Whatever you're facing, this is a word of God for you. So let us join together and let us make ourselves available for what God is doing in our lives by sharing and by centering our lives on the Word. Would you join with me as we share this together? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I'm a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading today from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, as Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we long for a deep drink of refreshing spirit this morning. Come and move within us, change us, mold us, shape us, heal us, that we may be whole in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. John Wesley is almost synonymous with the revival that took place in the 1700s, as he had this awakening in England that just transformed that country. And eventually it cascaded over here to the Americas. And we are the beneficiaries of his vision and of his passion. But it didn't start out that way. Wesley, as he began growing up, he had a great vision of things that he wanted to do for God. And many of you know that at one time, Wesley journeyed from England and landed in Savannah, Georgia. And he began in a colony there to begin to preach. And he came over and he wrote in his journal that he came over to convert the American Indians. But he often wondered who was going to convert him. He so struggled with his identity in Christ and who he was and what his life was supposed to be about, that his mission here in the Americas turned out to be, probably be kind to say, it was a disaster. He eventually left the Americas and went back to England, but he struggled with depression and said, who am I? What is it that God wants me to do? Eventually, in 1738, he wrote in his journal, I don't think I'm a Christian, because he had this emptiness. You know, where was the Christian passion that we so often expect? And maybe I wonder if you are in that place with Wesley today. Maybe you're struggling with the passion. Where do I find Christ? Where do I find that joy, that fulfillment? Where do I find that passion? As a matter of fact, later, what Wesley is known by at the end of his life is he found that passion. And eventually, he traveled over 250,000 miles in England on horseback, preaching and creating churches and transforming people's lives. He went from someone who was depressed and alone to someone who was on fire. As a matter of fact, one of Wesley's quotes is, catch fire and people will gather for miles to watch you burn. He meant people are so hungry for passion. They're so eager for somebody that has a vision for something that they can do with their lives that if you offer them the same passion that you have in your life, they will gather to hear that story, to gather and to feel that experience. Maybe that's something that we need this morning, something that we need to be drawn into. In 1739, in what has become known as Wesley's Aldersgate experience, Wesley took his depression, his sorrowness, his emptiness, and he went to a Bible study. On May 24th, 1738, he writes the following in his journal that has become very famous. He said, in the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ. I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Wesley had gone to a Bible study. It says in his own notes, very unwillingly. He went and he heard, and something transformed him that night. He had an encounter with God. And he said, I knew. My heart was strangely warmed. I had been transformed from somebody that was empty to an assurance that God was with me. I wonder this morning, as we think about our own journey of faith, if that's a passion that we need in our lives. I've also often wondered about the story. What was it about Luther's preface that caught his imagination, that caught his passion? And so I looked it up, and I wanted to share this passage which so captivated Wesley's imagination. Listen to these words from Luther. Faith is a work of God in us, which changes us and brings us to birth anew from God. It makes us completely different people in heart, mind, senses, and all our powers, and brings the Holy Spirit with it. A living, creative, active, powerful thing is faith. It is impossible that faith ever stop doing good. Faith doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before it is asked, it has done them. It is always active. Whoever doesn't do such works is without faith, and he gropes and searches about for faith and good works, but doesn't know what faith or good works are. Even so, they chatter on with great many words about faith and good works. Faith is a living, unshakable confidence in God's grace. It is so certain that someone would die 1,000 times for it. This kind of trust in knowledge of God's grace makes a person joyful, confident, and happy with regard to God and all creatures. This is what the Holy Spirit does by faith. Wesley went into this meeting alone, broken, afraid, and he left joyful and changed. As a matter of fact, the story is that after leaving this gathering at Aldersgate, he eventually went to tell his brother Charles. Many of you know Charles Wesley wrote a great number of our hymns. As a matter of fact, it's recorded that Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns. And he went to Charles and he told him about this revelation that he had, that God had done a good work in him already, regardless of what John had done. And Charles related to him that he too had had that awakening, that, if you will, that second conversion experience, that God loved him just as he was. As a matter of fact, Charles eventually set down his feelings in a hymn that we're going to sing at the end of the service. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing thy great Redeemer's praise. Charles gave rise to his theology through hymnology, by sharing a hymn, by putting it to music, what his story was. And I believe this morning, if we're struggling, if we're doubting our own journey with God, we too need our own Aldersgate experience. What is so unique about this moment in John's history is it is a convergence of three forces. The force of his own faith, his own failure, and of God's grace. All three of these converge at this one moment, and he has this awakening. And I wonder this morning if you need that passion, if you're looking for your own Aldersgate moment where you can say, my heart was strangely warmed, it was awakened by God's presence, then maybe today is the day that God allows that to happen. Let's look at what happened in this moment that Wesley brings to this moment. What is it that we learn about his journey? The first thing that we learn about his Aldersgate experience is that John went unwillingly. As a matter of fact, his own notes say that he went very unwillingly, but he went. I wonder this morning, whenever you think about being involved in the life of the church, the activities that go on here, are you willing or unwilling? You see, the great thing about Wesley is Wesley put himself in the flow of what God was doing. He allowed himself to be immersed in places where he knew God was going to be at work. He knew that if he was hungry, he had to go to a place where there would be food. He knew that if he was thirsty, he would have to go to a place where there was water. If we feel empty on the inside, if we feel dry, if we feel alone, then we have to go where we know the Spirit will be. The first thing that we have to be is willing to put ourselves in the flow. Wesley went very unwillingly, but he went, and he experienced a transformation. The thing that we have to understand about God's Spirit is you cannot call it up. As a person, you cannot order it up in your own time frame. You have to put yourself in a place and allow the Spirit to come to you. Wesley knew that he was in the right place. And even reading the preface to the Romans allowed God's Spirit to move. Maybe this is that day for you. Maybe this is that place for you where God said, it's time for a new revival to take place in your life, a new passion to be kindled, a new fire to burst forth. God is working in you to get you to a place where he can do his greatest work. The second thing that really happens in this moment is that Wesley comes ready for grace. He comes ready for it. He had tried everything that he could on his own. He had tried the mission to America. He had tried preaching in all of the churches. And he tried everything that he knew in his own power to change people's attitudes. He tried to please God. You see, we all have this image that if I only work hard enough, God will love me. If I'm only good enough, God will love me. When the fact of the matter is that because God loves you, he's going to make you good. Everything that we do is an outpouring of his grace already in us. We cannot do anything good if God doesn't pour it out through us. Humility is the door through which grace must pass. Until we recognize that it is God within us, it will always be to our own glory. Wesley was at his wit's end. As I mentioned earlier, he wrote in his notebook, I am not a Christian today, because he felt so broken and so alone. But it's at that moment of his own brokenness that God can begin to fill him up. Empty me of me, O Lord, that I may be filled with you. Empty me, not just deplete just a little bit. Empty me of me, that I may be filled with you. Wesley went because he wanted to be in the flow of God's grace. He had gotten to a place where he was broken and that he knew that he needed to be changed. In that moment, Wesley received three basic gifts that would change his life. He received what was unexpected. He went unwillingly, but he went and God met him there. He experienced something that was indescribable. He said for the rest of his life, it was, my heart was strangely warmed. I can't quite describe it. I can't reduce it to a formula. I can't reduce it to a pattern. It was strangely warmed, and I knew within myself. What Wesley is describing the best that he can is the power of divine love. I can't describe it for you. I can't codify it. I can't put it down in a formula, but I know it. It strangely warmed my heart. And finally, he lived a life that was uncontainable. He had passion. He wanted everybody to know. At this time in England, for the Church of England, only the really wealthy people could go to church. They were the only ones that were really allowed in the church. The common people, the peasants, the farmers, never really went to church. And so what Wesley did, which was radical and kind of crazy at the time, Wesley would go out into the fields and he would begin preaching to the people that were out in the fields. They'd never experienced anything like this. But Wesley could not contain himself. He had such passion for this new life that God had offered. We need to recapture that Aldersgate fire, that passion that Jesus has for us. As a matter of fact, we as a church, we have to live as a continuation of the gospel. We are the continuation. We are the fifth gospel. We are the third testament, the next incarnation. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now think about that for a moment. We as the church, as an example, we live as the fifth gospel. This is the continuation, how we live with God's Spirit in us. Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit not to be just with you, but to live in you and through you. We are a new creation in Christ. We are God's very own. As we live with that story, that Aldersgate experience that is waiting for us. That's our heritage. There's a story that in England, where Aldersgate is, where this building was that Wesley met in, it was destroyed in the Second World War. And so there is a monument out in front of the building that currently exists that describes this moment and has, what I'm told, it has the plaque that has Wesley's journal in it about what he said. And there's a story about a man that goes up to this monument and he's reading Wesley's story from his journal. And there's a guy behind him, as he hears Wesley telling this story, he hears him behind him saying, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let it come to me as well. Do it again. Bring it to my life as well. I want my life to have that kind of passion, that kind of journey." Our tradition as United Methodists is this symbol of the cross and flame, this mixture of faith and fire, of passion and of zeal for what God is doing. We as United Methodists, we hold that God is coming to warm our hearts, to create fire in us that we can go back into our law, into our world, and bring light and warmth to everybody that you meet. If you're longing for that passion again, that desire, ask yourself if you're in the flow of God's work. Are you where God's meeting you, meeting other people? Ask yourself if you're ready for grace, or if you just want to tag it on to everything else that we're doing. Are you ready for the passion that he has? Are you ready for what is uncontainable? This morning, we're going to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. It is a means of grace, of God reaching out to you, of saying, "I want your story to be my story. I want your journey to be my pathway." So as you come this morning, ask yourself if you are ready for your Aldersgate experience. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for your grace that is poured out in our lives. And we pray, O God, that as we join together, your Spirit would awaken us and stir us to new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.